can't grow, you can't walk with the Lord. Your right. relationship is there, but your fellowship is cut.
Yeah.
You know, we go to the Lord and we know that our sin has been nailed to the cross, and we know that we bear it no more. And we know that when we go to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us, well, He forgives us.
Amen.
Sometimes we can't forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't forgive yourself, then the Lord still, the fellowship is still
that's right.
cut. You know?
Right. That's right.
And for about a year, I guess, I've been doing this. You know, the Lord was just had no fellowship. You know, you pray, you you're really not growing. You just kind of, you're stifled. You're just stale. And I couldn't say, like, well, what is wrong? What is wrong? Why don't I have that joy and that peace that I have, you know? And when Sylvia, I don't even think it was anything she said. I don't know. She just was talking, and it just dawned on me. Well, you have to forget it.
Amen.
Once you confess your sin before the Lord,
right.
it's done with.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
It's gone.
Amen.
And He showed me a verse. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than
right.
our heart
yeah.
knoweth all things.
Amen.
Amen.
Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have
confidence
toward
Amen.
God. And confidence toward
Amen.
God. When I just grabbed my heart, I said, confidence toward God.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
When you have confidence toward something, then there's no doubt. And we sing right. that song into thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in thee.
Amen.
Let me not be ashamed.
Amen.
Let not my enemies triumph over me.
Amen.
Yeah, my sin has triumphed over me. And that was his enemy to me.
That's right.
I said, Lord, I want to trust you. I don't want to be ashamed of my sin anymore. You know, I confessed it to him, and we got our hearts right, and we prayed, and boy, it was just like, you know, it's like a breath of fresh air.
Amen.
Whoa, you know, you don't even know what you can. You can't even express yourself. There's just no words. It's just, you know, you're just free.
Thank you.
It's like for the first time I understood the freedom and the liberty that God gives you when you, it's gone.
Amen.
It's no more, you know.
Amen.
Oh, it was such
Amen.
A blessing to just have
Praise
that freedom once again. And that joy and that peace, and you can sing, oh my God, I trust in me.
Amen.
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 Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my
Amen.
Soul.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Seven chariots and seven horses, a we remember the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I was impressed last night by the brother that shared his testimony. Well, I shared, I was impressed by his testimony, really, but I was impressed that he was impressed. You know, we forget really what a blessing we have.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sandy, of course, expressed it again last night when she said, you know, that she had every place she could go. And,
right.
We just don't realize, really.
That's right.
You know, we just have taken in so much of the good things of God that we just don't take for granted.
Yeah.
But it's not many places you can
right.
find
that's
joy
right.
and fellowship
yeah.
and openness. And I tell you, we just ought to be really thankful
Amen.
For the
Amen.
Time of the year.
Amen.
Look at 1 Corinthians 12. And this came to me. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22, came to me yesterday. It says, 1 Corinthians 12, 22 says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, we get the idea there are some people who do more talking than others. And we get the idea, us that do more talking, we get the idea that we're more necessary. And yet the Bible says those that seem more feeble,
Amen.
They're more necessary.
Amen.
You know something? No one of us in here can say that that we are necessary or that we are more necessary. As a matter of fact, what the Bible is saying clearly is that we're all necessary.
Amen.
And no matter how much we like to hear ourselves, no matter how much we try, we cannot lift ourselves and say, you know, we're necessary. And no matter how much you try to put yourself down and think, you know, really, I can't speak real well, I can't do nothing, the Bible says you're necessary.
Amen.
If you're necessary,
Amen.
You need to get up and say something.
Amen.
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 Praise
Amen.
Amen.
There is a resurrection.
Hey.
Oh my!
Amen. Dead do rise.
Colossians on it. Colossians 2:10.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It says, you are complete in Him,
Amen.
Which is the head of all principality and power. Now, this little verse here is really something great.
Amen.
For me, I never realized that I'm complete in Christ.
Amen.
I'll be sitting down, I'll be asking God, oh God, give me
Give me this. I need this. And Donovan, one day, I'm complete. I'm in Christ. I don't need anything. Sometimes we ask for things. We'll ask, oh, God, I need some joy. I need this. And we forget it's in Christ, and we're complete in Him. We have Him. We have everything we need.
Amen.
We're asking for something that's out of Christ. We're asking, oh, Lord, give me this. We'll be taking things out there somewhere, somewhere far away. And we forget that we have it. All we have to do is recognize it and thank Him for it. Like the song says, if the victory's won, we just shout that out and realize it's ours. But I was thinking, just like this is a while back in my experience, I was down, I was just whipped. And I couldn't figure out why, and I realized, well, I have light. The Bible says, you know, Christ is our life. Christ now is our life. In Colossians 3:1, we read that real quick. 3:3 it says, when you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also appear with Him in glory. But Christ is my life, and it says I am the vine. I'm part of Christ, and so what's the problem? I don't have life. And I was like, wow, this is really crazy. I look at myself and I see death, but I'm supposed to be alive. And finally, I recognize. I said, wow, wait, I'm looking at myself. I should be looking at Christ.
That's right.
And I should just claim the victory that I do have life and it's mine. And so right there in my room, I just recognized, well, Satan, you're a liar, first of all. The Bible says I have life.
Amen.
And I was confessing my sin like he was saying. I confessed. I said, man, what's the problem? I confessed all I confessed. What's the problem? I said, I have life.
Yeah.
But the problem was I was still looking at myself. I had to turn my eyes off that and realize, it's like it's like when you first get saved, you doubt your salvation. You say, "What's the problem?" But finally, look at the word. It says here, "I'm saved."
Amen.
Claim it.
Amen.
So I just claim it. It doesn't matter. I confess my sin. It doesn't matter if I feel like I confess it or I feel like I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven.
That's right.
It's blocking me from having life. It's blocking me from my being with God. So I just claimed it. Say, God, I recognize I have life, and You are my life.
Amen.
And that's God rejoicing.
Amen.
Amen.
A lot of times we don't realize that we ask, "Oh God, forgive me." Right. And we're supposed to have. A lot of times I'll ask God, oh God, revive me. I say, what am I asking for? I'm asking for something out there. Am I asking for something that God I already have Christ, I have everything. I have revival. It's Him in my life. I don't need to ask for something else. Well, I just recognize that I have it and claim it. But an illustration I was thinking about was if I gave it to Job here, he took it. And in the Bible, thank you, Joe. And he asked me, he says, now, please give me the book of Romans, please. All I got to do is rip the book of Romans out and give it to him. You know, sorry, he's going to do it.
Amen.
We get Christ, we get he's that spring of living water.
Amen.
Full of diamonds, tenure.
Praise the Lord.
Living bread. He's everything we need.
Amen.
Complete in Him. We don't need nothing else. Only thing we need to do is recognize, get our eyes off ourselves. Confess our sin, we got sin, and then forget about us in the past.
That's right.
And apart from there, recognize He's our life.
Amen.
The Bible says, He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He says, ye are the branches. He can say, you were the branches, you are the branches.
Amen.
We're the branch. That's the problem of life.
Amen.
What it is, a fruit doesn't sit there striving to get, you know, to grow. It just sits there and rests and grows.
Amen.
Right. Rest and realize God's my life and just let Him flow out of us. Let Him make His life come out of us.
Amen.
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 Right.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Mm-hmm. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
In Colossians 3, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Amen.
For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Even Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mm-hmm. I know I do. I seek things on this earth. Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed of that. I know I'm risen with Christ. I'll be with risen with Christ. I'll be with Him in glory.
Amen.
But I got to learn to seek things above.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise your Lord Jesus.
Let's sing,
hey. It was a year that the Lord led me and my wife here. And it's been a blessing ever since.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, before the Lord led us here, it was 4 months that I've been saved. And we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'd just like to share what happened to me. Chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. You know, I'd been in Roman Catholicism for 29 years. And one day, The Lord removed the veil from my eyes.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I've seen what the Lord done for me.
Amen.
And I had godly sorrow.
Amen.
I had godly sorrow. And,
hallelujah.
You know, my life flashed before me, and I'd seen all the iniquities. And I'd seen the great payment He'd made for my sins. And,
praise the Lord.
And I rejoiced, and I said, oh Lord, you know, I've been working for my salvation for so long, you know. And You've done it all.
Amen.
And I thanked Him, and I said, Lord, I want to repent. Repent of false doctrine. I've been deceived by the devil for so many years.
Amen.
And I want to look to the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, I went to the Word of God. The Spirit of the Lord took me to the Word of God. And I started going to a Baptist church. And I was very excited about the truth. I'd known for sure that I was on a sure road.
Amen.
To heaven. That I was saved, you know. And yet, in a Baptist church, I started getting confused again. Because they were mixing the Old Testament with the New Testament. They were adding doctrines of men, and I was disappointed because I said, well, these are supposed to be the people of God, you know. There shouldn't be this confusion. We have the Word. I mean, when I was lost, anything went, you know, any doctrine. But now we have the Word of God.
That's right. Yeah.
And things are all mixed up. It's not right, you know. So I started searching. I wasn't content there. I went to 8 different churches within 4 months, and I found confusion. And the Lord led me here.
Amen.
And
Amen.
You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Lord says that we should prove all things that are acceptable unto the Lord. And we should reprove the world, you know. And I've been doing that in other churches that were supposedly in the Word of God. And people would look at me like if I was a fanatic or something. But you know, I couldn't understand. It hurt me so much. That the world made such a big thing out of something like Christmas, and it was all blasphemy, you know. It was a dead word.
Amen.
It was a false doctrine, or whatever.
Amen.
You want to call it. It was a lie, you know. And I hate Christmas. In Proverbs 8:13, the Lord says, fear the Lord and hate evil.
Amen.
And Christmas is evil.
Amen.
I've been through 29 years of it, and there's nothing good come out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
A lot of sometimes love, sometimes peace. But overall, no real peace of the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would go to the Scriptures, and I would go to Jeremiah chapter 10, and I would show them there what the Lord says, and I would tell them that there's no birth date of Christ and all, but, you know, they'd say, hey, you're taking away our fun or our tradition. and, you know, I hated it. I hated it. When I found the truth, I hate evil doctrines, you know, false doctrines, and I hate it. So then the Lord led me here, and you know, the first thing that I really rejoiced about was that I found out immediately that this church took a stand against unscriptural things, you know, like Christmas, and that really enlightened my heart, you know. And the Lord led me to a scripture and blessed me right away here at this church with Acts 17:11.
Amen.
You know. Acts 17:11 says there were more noble than these were no more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things
Amen.
Were so.
Amen.
You know? And then you know, the Lord really blessed my heart here. And as I continue to come, and up to now, I'm very excited because I know I'm on the path for a solid foundation.
Amen.
Because God is not the author of confusion. You know?
Amen.
And I see the straight direction of truth. And from there, the Lord blessed me with Second Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, and that's a blessing, to see the work of the Lord done here.
Amen.
In this church, because there's very few churches that stand really on the Word of God and rightly divide the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of sin that it's hard to control, the lust of the eye and you know, some of the sin that's hard to control. But you know, something outward, like wanting to have a tree in the house and wanting to raise your kids believing in Santa Claus and all these things. I mean, that's something we can control. That there's no excuse for that, you know. I mean, the lust of the eye and other things, that's something that this wretched heart of ours, it hits it before you can even control it, you know. But man, I mean, you know ahead of time what's coming.
Amen.
And you know, Satan works with the eye of man, you know. The Lord works with the ear. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But you know, Satan works more through the eye, you know. And if you start watching TV right now, all you're going to see is commercials about Christmas and how much fun they're going to have and the parties they're going to have. And you start looking at that, and boy, you're going to wind up there. But you know, I find that there's a lot of Christians that say, well, the reason I'm going to a Christmas dinner is I'm going to use it as a way of testimony for the Lord, as a way of witnessing. You know, I find that I've invited these Christians that want to do that to go witnessing, door knocking with me. They don't want to do that. If they really want to have an opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, they can go door knocking and all, you know. But no, they went for a Christmas dinner, you know. And then, you know, they're at the dinner and they're surrounded by the heathen. And Satan shows them the wonderful things and the fun they're having and how it's okay and they should partake of it. And they wind up partaking in it. They don't witness for the Lord. They'd be thrown out if they did.
That's right.
You know, if you really want to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ this coming Christmas, be a part of, stay away from it. You know, separate yourselves from it. And with joy, proclaim that there's nothing truth in it according to the Word of God. And you know, what's going to happen is after a couple of Christians say that to the same lost person that asks, you know, then that person's going to look and search the Scriptures. He's going to want to find out the truth about that. But you know, what makes it so bad is that most Christians participate in this great blasphemy of the world. And then there's Christians that make a stand on the truth, and the world's confused.
Right.
You know, they don't know which way to go. What we should do is stand on the truth,
amen,
stay away from it, and that is a great testimony for the Lord.
Amen.
Being separate from the world.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, you can get some real good advice if you go to some religious counselor. Brother David counseled with me when he first came here. It wasn't very long after he'd come here and started coming with us. And he said he got a real burden about his sins. Man, he was really upset. Man, I'm gonna go to hell, and boy, I'm living in sin. So he went to his priest. The priest told him he had to go out and get drunk and get a woman and forget this man. Is that right, brother?
Yeah, he told me to go back in the world. I'm too serious about the Bible.
Yeah, too serious. I mean, you can too serious about the Bible. You can go back to the world. I mean, you know. And that's good counsel from a religious leader. Isn't it? I mean, I wonder how many others have been given that same counsel when they got hurt and broken. How many of you? You're getting too religious over much. Go back in the world. I mean, what's that? Get drunk. Let's go have a party. You'd have an affair. I mean, your life's too serious. You know, listen to me, friend. I mean, that world out there hadn't got anything.
That's right.
And even though they profess we are the church and we're religious and we do all this good thing, they don't give the answer that a man is
right. That's right.
And I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there getting wrong advice. They go maybe sincere, seeking, burdened. I had a friend of mine. He ended up being a professional baseball player for years. And I got saved and I went after him. Played football together and baseball together. And I went after this guy. And boy, he was under conviction. I mean, this guy's trembling. He's crying. He's trembling. The next time I saw him, he wasn't crying and trembling anymore. I said, hey, what happened? Oh, I went to my preaching. He said, I didn't need that. I went to my preaching. He said, I didn't need that. I'm all right. I'm a member of the church. He probably still that same way right now. You know, it's a shame. But we do have the truth.
Amen.
You know, I think Billy brought it out very simply one message or two ago. Our job is not to save souls. Our job is to declare the truth.
Amen. Amen.
Our job is not to convince somebody of an argument. You know, I get into arguments with people. Sometimes I win the argument but lose the battle. I mean, although I win the argument, it doesn't make a difference. They go and do what they want to anyway. I could just out-argue them.
That's right.
But what we need to do is simply declare the truth.
Amen. Amen.
You know, one thing about the open meeting here, we've seen Sylvia come. She said, I can get up and tell the truth here.
Amen.
Sandy could say, Dale's oldest daughter, she'd say, you know, I don't have a place I can go to do this. And I need to do it. I just need to get up and say openly to the body, you know, I need some help. Pray for me. I'm in trouble. I mean, I'm in sin. I'm not living right. You know, as you said, Dale, I am so thankful.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful for His salvation. I'm thankful for all the rich doctrines and blessings that we have. But I tell you, I'm thankful for the church.
Amen.
I'm thankful for this church.
Amen.
I've been preaching over 26 years. I've been in a lot of churches. As a pastor, as an evangelist, as a missionary, I've been in a lot of churches. I wouldn't trade what we've got.
Amen.
I wouldn't trade what we've got.
Amen.
With this 45 or 55 people here this morning, I wouldn't trade what we've got for any church in the nation.
Amen.
Anyone I ever saw. Local church don't have anything I'm missing.
Amen.
Baptists haven't got anything I'm looking for. Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, they don't have anything I'm looking for. Amen?
Amen.
Tell you what, brother, I found something. I found some truth.
Amen.
You know, brother, when I first saw this, I was a missionary in Guatemala. And I'd seen it for a while, but I wouldn't act on it because it was going to cost me my money. It was costing me my support. It was costing me my friends. A lot of it was costing me my wife and kids. Bad news, boy. Doing some things I was going to do. They're going to cost me. You know, I just finally had to. I said, look, I can't go on. I can't go any further. I'm not going on in what I know, even though it be simple, what I know to be error from the Word of God. Then I came back here, and for 5 years, God broke me. Just flat put me in a box. He humbled me. He's been humbling me lately. He hasn't humbled me ever so often. I don't know about you. Evidently, I'm awful proud or something, and I need a lot more humbling than the most. I'm not sure. But He put me in a box and humbled me. And you know, while I was in that box, I had 13 calls to full-time work. And I couldn't take them. Well, I wanted to. I wanted to. They said, brother, come before us. We want you to preach. And sometimes I go preach. You know, I preach anywhere. But, you know, they want me to come as a pastor. And I say, well, I look at my heart and say, that looks good. I'll be back full time. I'll be back preaching again. You know, I'll be back. But you know what I've been? I've been back exactly the same thing I was doing.
That's right.
Even though it'd be a different name, but be back the same thing again. This old clergy laity garbage and the same old mess that came out of Rome and the Nicolaitans, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I'd be right back there again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God just kept breaking me in. And whenever these things had come up, two opportunities came to me to go back to the mission field that they would support me. Look, we want you to go back. We've got these people that are going to send you. We're going to send you back to the field. And we know you lost your support. Otherwise, we'll send you back. But I'd have been back again in the same system, the same setup. And, you know, each time, these were a big temptation to me. I don't know whether you have or recognize your temptations, but they were a temptation to me. They said, look, here's a way out. Here's the way out. I mean, you know, you got fanatic and made yourself a mess and humbled yourself, but here's the way out. And I'd go back to that old book.
Amen.
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 And I'd think sometimes, and I had friends come by and tell me, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong. What are you doing sitting here? I mean, you preacher, you told everybody else to get out and preach and start something, and you just sitting around here in your house teaching a few little people. I mean, you know, what are you doing? Humble? Oh, it breaks my heart. I didn't have much I could say. Sit there, you know, take it. And I go back to the old book. I say, Lord, am I wrong? Lord, am I wrong? And I open up that old book and I say, it's right.
Yes.
And I finally had to come to place. I said, Lord, I'm not a time server. I'm not serving you for money. I'm not a hireling.
Amen.
You know, I'm not going to preach for you, Lord. You're filling me with the Spirit. And I'm not going to go out and do religious things because you bless me. I'm through. I'm not doing. Somebody said, well, I think you ought to go visit somebody. I ain't visiting nobody. That's God, you move on. Used to, I visited anybody and everybody, and I just went. Sometimes I didn't feel like it, because I was supposed to go. I was supposed to go. Well, I came to the place in my own life, I said, I'm going to serve you because I love you. I don't want to serve you. I want to serve you because I love you. You know, God took me down. Really took me down. Finally, I looked up at God and I said, God, it's not my sin that's broken me. I've confessed everything I know I confessed on. 2 or 3 times, 100 times. Lord, why don't I get the blessing? It's not my sin that's broken me. It's not my wrong doctrine that broke me. I'm right. Maybe wrong as far as the generation I'm living in. It may be wrong as far as ever being accepted by very many people. It may be wrong as far as being a success. But it's not wrong according to that book, because I read the book and I go back to the book and it's in the book. It's God. Amen. It's not that, and it's not the devil. I first thought it was the devil whipping me around the bush. I said, God, it's not the devil. It's not my sin. It's not my doctrine. I didn't make a mistake when I did what I did. I did what you told me to do. I was right to the Spirit of God when I did it. But why have you broken me? It's you. I looked up at God and I said, God, why? It's you. It's you. And God revived me. One given night, God just poured a bucket of cold water just about as wide as my head, right down through my body. He said, turn it in. And he said, get up and go start that work. I said, I tried to do it 5 years. I know I had gas on my stomach or something. I've got a desire or something like that. He woke me up the next night. I said, go do it. I said, no, I'm still not sure. It took him the third night to get my thing. And that night, I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, started driving, looking for a place to rent. I drove about 3 hours. I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, drove 4 or 5 in the morning, looking for a place to rent, so I'm going to start this one. You know, we've been through some troubles and some trials. And my, if you look back at that old book over there, you can see some changes. Oh, there have been people that used to be here, used to was, and they're not here anymore. There aren't many of us that are old-timers around here. Not many. And every year this thing changes. But you know what hasn't changed? Spirit hasn't changed. The blessing hasn't changed. Though some people leave, God's still been here. And you know, though some people say, well, I don't like this. And you know, I guess we got so many stupid things that drive people off. I'm amazed. And Brent knows as much about it as I do now. He's been handling a whole lot of that business for these last year or two, three. And you know, you go out and you knock on these doors and they say, well, I don't like open meat. I want to go someplace where I hear the same preacher all the time. I don't hear some kid not even drive behind ears and telling me how to live. I don't like to hear women speak. Well, you got women with pants on in there. That's ungodly, man. We can't have like women with pants. You got the Lord's Supper every week. We don't like the Lord's Supper every week. You know, that's all. They got 100 weeks. Oh, they go out there and say, Brother Kincaid was ugly to me. Did you hear him when he preached? He yelled. He made too much noise and scared my babies. They ain't coming back no more. Yeah, he said stingy gut one time. And no preacher ought to say stingy gut. And Brother Brent said, sex from the book. Ain't coming back no more. And I just look out there and I think of all that. I don't understand it, but they sure miss something.
Amen. Amen. Right.
But you know, it hasn't turned out to be our loss. In one sense of the word, don't misunderstand me. It has been a loss. What could we have done? What could we be if all those that have been and seen the light and stayed, and I let the devil drive them out, if they were all here this morning?
Amen. Hallelujah.
How much more could be done? How much more money could be in the work? How many more are there? But there's another side to that. If they were here, there might not be anything could have done.
That's right.
That's right. God does His own weeding.
That's right. Amen.
I'll go out and I'll visit some of these dear, sweet people and say, well, how's the church going? I say, going great. Well, you got any more than you had last year? No.
Amen. No? Brother. Amen, brother.
I've got a few less. Well, brother, aren't you doing your job? I said, well, the best I know how. They said, well, how come it's that way? I said, because I guess my ability is only worth pastoring about 100 people. I said, I'm sure if I had the ability to pastor 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, God would have given them to me. I mean, you know, it's just God's given me all I can carry, you know. And in fact, more than I'm able to carry. You just don't understand. But He's given me more than I'm able to. I have a hard time just keeping myself straight. But, you know, I think about that sometimes. I say, why don't they enjoy it? And Brother Brent will go visit some of them and say, oh, how'd you like our church? Oh, we loved it. We loved it. Aren't you? Yeah. I don't know what they love. I figured it out. Yeah. If they love us so much, why aren't they here?
Amen. Amen.
But you know, you can let things like this depress you and discourage you and make you a critical person. And you begin to criticize and you do this, that, and that. Hey, man, let's just enjoy. If there are 15 of us here, let's enjoy.
Amen.
Half the missionaries have to come back with people. Let's enjoy.
Amen.
I mean, man, if we don't get enough money to publish newspaper evangelism, let's still enjoy.
Amen.
We're getting for close to $6,000. Praise God. You got a few thousand to drop in. Amen. But let's just keep on doing what we're doing. You know, sometimes we look and say, why can't I do more? Why can't I put $1 million a year in a newspaper evangelism? I read these guys like that at Liberty Baptist College. He gets $1 million a day. You know that? Are you supporting the big boy up there in Virginia? He gets $1 million a day.
Still asking for more.
Yeah. 365 million a year. He is number one biggie radio and television preacher. The number one biggie. $1 million a day. Man, I'm telling you something. I look at all these things out here and I see all this stuff. I say, why don't we have $1 million to put newspaper values around the world? But we don't have. Let's don't sit around and complain about it.
Right. Amen.
Let's don't worry about it.
Amen.
I mean, if God thought you could handle $1 million, don't you think He'd place it in your hands?
That's right. Amen.
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 If God thought you could pastor this congregation, don't you think He'd run me off? Amen?
Amen.
Listen, why don't we just believe in God?
Amen.
Let's trust God. Let's rejoice. You know, I went home right the other night, and Berlina and I just laid in the bed talking, you know, and I said, man, I got a beautiful family. I got such a beautiful family. I thank God for that big old boy, a daughter, grandchildren. I thank God for that big old boy down there in Mexico. His wife and babies. I thank God for these two here. That one there, and that one there. Oh, boy, I'm so
thankful.
I got propositioned this week at school. I had to tell the young lady, I said, what could a 29-year-old do for me if my 47-year-old can't do it at all? I wouldn't trade her for any 320s I know. Sorry, 20s. Sorry. But I wouldn't trade her. You know, I got a family, man. I got a ministry. I got blessings. I've got joys. I've got some victory.
Amen.
And you don't know how much joy you give me. I was telling a preacher last night. I said, you know, in the type of ministry that I used to have, I fed all the time, fed all the time, fed. I said, now I can fed too.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got 100 pastors in me. I got 100 pastors. I used to have a pastor. They said, who's the pastor's pastor? Who's the pastor's pastor? And I'd go as an evangelist and I'd be the pastor's pastor for a week. He'd tell me all of his troubles and tell me who to skin hides on, who to run off from the church, you know, what to preach on, you know. Yeah. Why don't you really nail this week? I got a deacon that's doing this, that, and the other thing, you know. His pastor's pastor. And then, you know, a pastor would go to another pastor. I knew of a pastor that went to another pastor and said, look, I've got troubles in the church. My boy's about to run me off. He said, look, said, if you know of a church where I could go to, would you recommend me? You know what he did? That pastor wrote back to the deacons of that church and recommended himself for his brother's church. Don't you need a pastor like that? Oh, pastors, pastors. I'm telling you, things like that all the time. But you know what? I got some pastors. They feed me. I sit out here sometimes and I got about 15 messages set up in that Bible and I can preach them any page on it without even messing. Just give me the page and I preach from it. That's no problem. But I don't have to preach. I can sit back and you just preach to me. Preach to me. Preach to me. And I love it when a 12-year-old preaches.
Amen.
I love it when a 20-year-old preaches to me. I love it, man, when somebody gets a hold of something and say, I've got something. And I say, ooh, that touched my heart. It blessed my heart. It filled my soul. I don't know any place I can go and get that.
Amen.
The meetings we had here like Wednesday night and Thursday morning and Thursday night and Friday morning and Friday night, you can go to any revival meeting in town and I guarantee you, you wouldn't get any better than what you have right
Amen.
Here.
Amen. And
probably not half as good.
Right.
Most places, I guarantee, wouldn't be any good. We are blessed. We are so blessed. Don't let the devil shoot you out of the saddle. Oh, listen, don't let your little feelings get hurt over something. Somebody didn't take your picture. Or somebody got up in front of you. Or somebody didn't like your kind. You brought your favorite dish and nobody ate it. Can't take it all home. Don't let some little something like that drive you away. I mean, Brother David preached on Christmas and I still want to have Christmas. Well, don't let that worry you. Listen. Just go on and praise God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I was listening to one of my tapes before I sent it out and I was in there talking about something, and I said, well, that must have been December 25th, I mean, you know, and April 13th or something like that, you know, and I was making fun of Christmas and Easter. I thought, I'll probably offend somebody with that one. But you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful he's missionary. I'm thankful God still supports me. I'm thankful God still supports me. You know, that's a miracle. Do you know the miracles going on around you? Don't you start criticizing. Don't you start getting down. Don't you start looking at what somebody else has got. Thank God for what you've got.
Amen.
Let's be a thanksgiving people. Let's thank the Lord for what we have. And then don't sit criticizing me because they don't come to visitation or even because they miss these meetings. Praise God you were there.
Amen.
I mean, enjoy it, you were there. I mean, drink it all in. If they didn't get it, oh, listen, that's their loss, not yours.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm just thankful.
Amen.
And I'm thankful tonight that God's given me so much. I mean, you're a great deal of what He's given. I love
Praise
my
Lord.
Glasses. You know, these are new glasses. And bless their heart, I have to re-bend them things every day. Because I hug somebody, just crush them up. I'm just hugging people all the time. And they treat them hugging me and beat my old back like I'm a bear or something like that. You know, I pull my glasses out and straighten them back out so they put on my head again and start all over again. I love it! I don't care if I got to buy a new pair of glasses and new pair of frames about every 3 months. That's all right. I'm enjoying it. I love it. I got so many brothers and sisters and sons and daughters. He said, you lead it. For my sake, and I'll give you 100-fold more in this life.
Amen.
And eternal life in the life to come.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, God's done that for me.
Amen.
God's done that for me. He's given me hundreds. I'm just thankful.
Amen. Amen.
We're talking about religious council. I want to share a blessing that happened down here in Mexico about a month and a half, 2 months ago. We were out showing a film, me and Mike and Tony, and this young girl walked up. I don't know, she's probably 15, 16 years old. She wanted to know if we had any meetings, so we invited her out to the young people's meeting. And I don't know if right then or later, but Tony started listening to her and told her how to be saved. She was really hungry to the truth. And she got saved. She got saved. I don't remember when. That Saturday night or maybe a week later, I'm not sure. But she started coming out to the meetings. And one Saturday night, she got up and she's just... And she's so exuberant. She is on fire. She's up and she hadn't been there 2 weeks and she was just screaming and yelling and really, you know, blessing everybody. She got up and she says, you know, says, before I was saved, one day I went to the priest and I says, how can I, when she confessed her sins to him, you know, how can I get rid of my sins? He says, well, just make about 9 little papers, you know, and say 5 Hail Marys and 6 Our Fathers and what happened, you know. She went out.
She had to pass out 9 different papers of that.
Yeah.
She had to write out.
And passed it out to the, I'm not sure where. And she's just confused. She's really confused. And she said, you know, then after that, I came to this brother here, and I said, how did I get rid of my sins?
Did you know, he didn't tell me write my little paper and pass it out and say, you know, I'm finally married. And he just said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what he said. She is a blessing. The difference that she made through the difference of the counsel of the priest and counsel of the
Amen.
Christian brother.
Amen.
You don't have to say five Hail Marys or six Our Fathers or make out nine little papers and pass them out. Just Amen. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 I have a couple of verses in Nehemiah. Chapter 8. It's a pretty familiar verse.
If
you've been blessed for me the last couple of days,
these
days have been a real time of rejoicing.
Amen.
I've known the Lord. I had an opportunity yesterday at work. I was heading to work for a little while, and I was down at the pharmacy, and I was singing at my desk, and it's just a real small area where the pharmacy fill the prescriptions and stuff. And the pharmacist turned around and he said, you're so happy.
Amen.
I said, because I'm rejoicing in my Lord. And he confesses to be a Christian and saved, and I had an opportunity to talk to him yesterday. He said, well, when are you going to baptize your baby? And I said, well, my baby's going to get baptized until he gets saved.
Amen.
And I believe in the Word of God that when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're baptized to put away the old man and rise in the newness of walk. And I said, baptizing them little, they have no way of making a decision. And they grow up thinking that they're saved.
And Amen.
Baptism doesn't save you. It's just a symbol that you are a child of God. And Amen. Anyway, I had an opportunity to share with him. He just walked off. And I had the joy within that was coming out.
Amen.
I'm using the sea.
Amen.
Singing, like last time we were talking about how the joy comes. And when you sing, to me, it's just a time I can't sing very good. It's something that it's from within.
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
When if you're not happy and you're real down, just get to singing.
Amen. Amen.
Get to singing.
Amen.
You get
Amen.
It.
Amen.
You know me and I sing all the time in the car. He doesn't want to sing. Chapter 8, the latter part of verse 9 and verse 10 says, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. More not, nor weep.
Amen.
For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat,
Amen.
Drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen. Amen.
Joy of the Lord.
Amen. The joy of the Lord
is my strength. The joy of the Lord.
Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. And another portion says, we can endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
I thank the Lord because something has really touched my heart in the last few weeks is how, like, we had the prayer meetings, you know, a couple weeks ago, we knew something was wrong, but we knew we had to go to the Lord to
Amen.
Pray for strength and stuff. And I thank God because of that, because no matter what we do here or how much joy we have or how strong we are, we don't forget to go to the Master, you know.
Right.
Go and look to Him. And I be thinking about sometimes, like, you know, when you have a burden and you want to pray about something, you have to go to the Lord and pray. You know, what really impressed upon me sometimes is, like, you can go and pray. You can pray, and that's good. And you can get up and keep on going. But when you go and pray, and you take your burdens and you lay them at the feet of the cross, I mean, how close can you get just to the feet? Just humble yourself and just lay your burden there. And knowing that God is going to pick it up and He's going to take care of it. And I think there's some significance in that. When you can just get down, you know, you can just when you lift your hands, you know, like a sacrifice, and you should lift yourself. And just, it's just a blessing to my heart. Knowing that when you do have a burden, just only go take it to the Lord and then be an Indian giver and take it back when you leave.
Yeah.
But take it and leave
it.
Knowing that God is going to be able to take care. And I think there's some significance in that. Going to His feet. And I was studying the other night and I was looking at some people that did go to the feet of Jesus. And if you want to turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Verse 29. Jesus departed from thence and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the lame to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel.
Amen.
And over in Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. We're starting at verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Over in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 37. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Luke.
Luke 7, 37.
I'm sorry, yes, Luke. Luke chapter, starting verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and then wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And that really blessed my heart, because at first it says, at the beginning, it says, when she, it says at verse 8, and stood at his feet, she was standing at first, but then she humbled herself and got down on her knees.
That's
right. And kissed the feet of Jesus, and I praise the Lord for that. In Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tomb. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and with fetters. And he broke the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind.
Amen.
They were afraid. The last one is over in John chapter 11.
Praise the Lord. Sitting at his feet. Amen.
John
Amen.
Chapter 11.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Starting at verse 30. Now when Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him, the Jews then which were with her in the house and comfort her, when they saw Mary, that she rose hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then going down to That was the verse, and then we know what happened when Lazarus came out the grave. And I praise God for those verses, because it really blessed my heart. And I know that when we did go to the feet of the cross and we go to Jesus, that we will get results. And it just blessed my heart that the prayer meetings were really blessing. And I thank God.
Amen.
I thank God for you. And I think about, like Brother Kincaid said, you know, what right do I have to be here? What right do I have to know you? What right do I have to even be a Christian?
Thank you.
I just praise God for because there's so many out there and so many young people that don't even know which way to go. You know, like I was on the radio the other day, the suicide rate is high. And the highest place, one of the highest places is in Dallas, you know, right? Which is just up the ways a little bit. But, you know, it's, I think the word needs to get out, and we need to keep on trusting in the Lord and keep on doing His work. And then the joy, you know, we may weep sometimes, but the joy will come in the morning. And like I said, 3 weeks ago, we probably were weeping. A lot of us probably were growing in the Spirit and knowing that there was trouble, you know, and wondering if we were going to be defeated, wondering if Ichabod was going to be written across the door and big, bold lights or whatever have you. But praise God, His mercy is still enduring.
Amen.
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 I'd like to show you some Thanksgiving that I have unto the Lord that happened this weekend. I have a relative from England that is visiting me. And we've never seen any of our relatives from England, at least I haven't. So it was the first time I ever saw a relative from my mother's side. Well, when I first met him, how am I going to, is this person saved or what? I said, what should I say? So I waited and prayed to the Lord, give me a moment when we can talk. So, now that my family has found Jesus, there's something that just radiates from my family.
Amen.
And he was there for Thanksgiving, and every dinner we praised God. And he came up to me and he said, something's different about your family. What is it? And I said, are you saved? And he goes, what does that mean? He says, do you believe in God, the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, well, I'm agnostic. And I said, well, let's just change the word. I said, let's call you a finger sticker. I said, what's the thing? And I said, you're somebody that sticks your finger in religion, and God, just in case there is a heaven, you think you go to heaven? I said, that's not true. I said, in John, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I said, what really is an agnostic? And in John 1:38, I'll just go halfway. It says, then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, what seek ye?
Yeah.
I said, what are you seeking?
Yeah.
Man says, and he said, I don't believe in this and that and this. And I said, that's the point. What are you seeking?
That's right.
He says, well, I believe there's a God. And I said, that's not enough.
Amen.
He says, it's not really God. It's a supreme being. I said, that's not enough. I said, aren't you missing a piece? I said, he starts missing. I said, down one more step. Look at this. He goes, and he said, then come and see me. And I said, he goes, well, what does that mean? I said, read His word, eat His word. And I said, he goes, well, how am I supposed to know this book is any good? I said, I'll give you an ultimatum. I said, read this book, find a mistake in it, and show it to me. So this morning, I tried to get him to go to church, but no, that's too much of a big step for him. But what I did see him doing is that he moved me out of my bedroom and stuck me in another room, so I had to bring all my study material and set it up in one big pile. And this morning I woke up and there he is and they're reading the book.
Amen. Amen.
He got a track and he says, well, I'm going to take this with me. I said, you take anything you want. But that's joy and Thanksgiving.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the
Lord.
Amen.
Word of God is power.
You know, one of the beautiful things concerning, I think, that concerning meetings and being here is, I think it's been a real opportunity for young preachers. This place has been a door for preachers.
Amen.
It's been a door for young preachers. And a lot of young preachers wouldn't have had the opportunity, wouldn't have the chance, wouldn't have the time for development.
That's right.
It wasn't a place like this. And it was a one-man ministry. And it went under the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and had the idea of the clergy-laity system. And some of you probably still don't have the conviction on some of these things. Probably some of you still don't see some things. Some of you are just kind of here because maybe you like the spirit of the meeting or something like that. But I tell you what you really need to do is really get some convictions from God. You need to really get in God's Word, really get something from God, and be able to stand so when the persecution does come, when the ridicule does come, when you get that opposition that's going to come because of your stand, that you'll be able to stand through it. And it's not because, well, Brother Kincaid said so, or because Brother Brent said so, or because someone else got up and said so. It's because God said so.
Amen.
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 That's why I said, and why was Brother Kincaid able to go through such a time, a trial period like that, and even get ridicule and opposition from those who we know as people who were Christians, and who were not only Christians, but preachers, and so forth. It's because he's seen something that God allowed him to see, and he knew what God had said, and so when it did come, he was able to stand. So Jesus said, a man who hears the sayings and does them, he says he likens that one unto a man who builds his house upon a rock.
Amen.
Now, and the wind comes, and that when the storms come, and when the rains come, he says that one stands. Why? Because it was founded on a rock.
Amen.
It was founded on a rock. And so I would challenge you in this area to
Get some convictions from God. One of the brothers who came here, he said, this is the first time he ever seen it over me. He heard about it. And I said, I'll tell you what. I said, he says he read some of your material on it. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, the best thing you can do, I said, if you come and experience the over me, you go back and you search the scriptures.
Right.
And I said, then you get a conviction from God, whether this is of God. If God gives you the light, you're responsible to walk in that light. But I said, but get it from God. Because I tell you, if you make this stand and you step out on it, you're going to get some opposition.
Amen.
Amen.
You're going to get some things that's going to come your way.
That's right.
You know? And you know, I thank God, there have been things I've learned here. And there have been things I've learned other places. One of the things that was brought before me and while I was here was that to have a balance in our life. A balance in our Christian life. You know, some places you go, there's all it is evangelism Sunday morning, evangelism Sunday night, evangelism Wednesday night. And there's evangelism. Brother Kincaid told me one of the things he's seen that was needed was to be able to have a balance.
Amen.
Was to be able to have evangelism, and to be able to have worship, and to be able to have teaching, and to be able to have preaching,
amen,
and to be able to have all these things. And then one of the things that when we function as a body, we all have different gifts, and we don't all have the same gift. And when there's this opportunity to use your gift,
amen,
and you're responsible for before God to use that gift, we ought to use that gift. And then there is more of a broadness to the ministry.
Amen.
Because there's not just one line coming at you. You see, you just don't have a Jack Hyde. Jack Hyles is a tremendous preacher of the word,
right,
tremendous evangelist, and tremendous exhorter who can get Christians moving sometimes, especially in the area of evangelism and soul winning. I don't know anybody who can probably stir people when it comes to soul winning and when it comes to doing that kind of a work.
Right.
But you know what? That's not all we need.
Right.
That's one of the things we need.
Right.
And see, what we need is a Jack Hyles, but what also we need is a Leonard Lindstedt.
That's right.
Yeah. See? Who's a teacher who can take the things and put them in a simple and quiet and easy manner. Maybe for some others who can get across and be a help to them. You see, we need all of them.
Amen.
We need all those things. And this is important. And, you know, one of the things, that's one of the things Brother Kincaid began to instill in me, is there needs to be a balance. You know, one day when I was up in Wisconsin, I heard a tape by Dodson Trotman, and he began to say, you know, how he went out and he witnessed, you know, and then he went back and started seeing these converts, and he was puzzled, you know, and God began to touch his heart, and he said, wait a minute, he said, something's wrong here. And he realized there needed to be something. They needed follow-up. They needed to be taught. They needed to be helped. They needed to be nurtured. They needed to be prayed for. They needed to be worked with, you see? And see, Dodson said his ministry changed here. He not only just evangelized, he also built up and established,
amen,
those he was evangelizing and did make commitments and did commit themselves to Christ. And so that stirred me, you know, and that made me think, you know, as I look back at my ministry and I thought of all the evangelism I was doing, and yet when I look back on many of the converts, I found that a lot of them weren't going on. I thank God for the ones that were going on.
Amen.
But I found that I was lacking something in my ministry, and that I needed to seek to establish those that I was evangelizing and that got saved through that evangelism. And you know, last night I gave up. I can speak too long. And last night, I gave an illustration here concerning the foundation. And one of the things that God has dealt with me concerning me is that I wanted to be involved in doing two great things. I know that every Christian, I think, needs to be involved in two great things. I think every Christian ought to be evangelizing and preaching the gospel to every creature. I believe every one of us ought to be in the work of evangelizing. But then I also believe that every one of us ought to be in the work of establishing one another.
Amen.
Establishing those who get saved. Establishing those that they might continue in the faith. And they themselves might go out and do the work of the ministry. You see, if I just try to do the work of the ministry, I've got a big work that I'll never accomplish. But one of the things we've been trying to do here, one of the things that we've been working at, is that every one of us would be established to the point that we all be doing the work of the ministry. And I tell you, Ecclesiastes says, two heads are better than one.
Amen.
Two heads are better than one. And I tell you what, it's better to have 10 heads.
preachers than one preacher.
Amen. Right.
So in keeping that in mind, as I passed you today, what are you doing? Some of you are much in evangelism. And I thank God for that. And one of the things we've tried to do around this place is be evangelistic.
Amen.
We put the gospel out in the newspaper. We put the gospel out by tract. We put the gospel out by going door to door. We put the gospel out by going down in the street. We put the gospel out by sending missionaries out. We want the gospel to go out. We believe that's supreme. We believe that one of the purposes we're here is to evangelize.
Amen.
One of the purposes we're here is to express Christ and to preach Christ's gospel to the world. And I believe that's one of the reasons why God has let us and allowed us and wants us to stay in the world. Pray God, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. Jesus Christ. So God's purpose is not to save us and take us out, but to save us and to make us ambassadors for Christ
Amen.
In the world.
Amen.
Till he take us home. But you know, God's not only interested in the message, he's interested in the messenger. He's always developing. Huh?
Amen.
God not only wants us to preach the gospel, but he wants that right kind of a preach. See, God's molding and making and developing, using for his glory. And you know, it's going to be a little more complicated for me.
Yeah, circles are hard to do. Amen.
It's going to be a little more complicated than last night.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But you know, one of the things I'd like to express is what I'm going to call a little bit about some of the basics. Some of the basics of the Christian life. Some of the essentials of the Christian life. Some of the very major and important points concerning the Christian life. And you know, that we might have a balance in our Christian life. You know, what we want here is not just to have some strong, we want all strong. You know, and the strength of the church is in the members of its church. You know, and if 5 are strong, that's good. But if 30 are strong, that's better.
Amen.
And I tell you what, you said we want good meetings, but good meetings are going to be the outcome of good lives, so to speak.
Amen.
Lives that have been exercised by God, developed by God. And you know, what I have here is got a little circle there. We're going to call this... the obedient Christian in action. No, the Christian's like a wheel. He's not stagnant, staying at one place. Rolling on. He's like those wheels, you know, in Ezekiel. They just kept moving along, you know? And we ought to be like a wheel in a sense. We need to be as a pilgrim and a stranger, God says, and we're passing through, see? And we want to be like a wheel that's rolling through this world and reflecting the light of Christ in a lost world. And you know, when I talk about the essentials, the important points, the basics concerning the Christian life, I'm not saying that this is all of the Christian life. I'm saying these are some very important points and points that need to be applied in a very day-by-day experience in our Christian life. And if they are, I believe that we and you will be strengthened, will be up, will be built up, and will become more effective Christian ministers. Say, I'm not a minister. You gotta read the Bible. You're a Christian. You're a minister.
Amen.
The first and major thing is right here. The middle of that wheel. The middle of that wheel. Christ.
Amen.
You see, the power of the wheel is in the hub. And the power for the Christian life is Christ.
Amen.
Joey, I want you to look up 2 Corinthians 5:17. Tony, I want you to look up Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Billy, I want you to look up Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Bill, I want you to look up. I want you to look up John chapter 14 and verse 21. Brother Dale, I want you to look up 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. I want to volunteer. The first thing is, don't volunteer for nothing, you know. And I say, I want you to volunteer, you know. They'd always say those drill sergeants, well, I guarantee you that. But okay, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8.
Adrian, look up John in chapter 15 and verse 7. The brother right here, we'll look up Philippians in chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Let's see, what else we got here? We got I got some more. Who else do I need? Okay, we got a sister volunteer here, the brave sister. Amen. All right. Y'all thought I was a male chauvinist. We didn't have no sisters volunteering. Okay, I want you to look up Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Anybody else want to volunteer? I think two more members. Like, okay. Brother Dave? We got Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. We got the brother. Okay, let's see. Mike, we're going to take up Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. And we've got one more verse. Who wants to take? All right, there we go.
Amen.
We'll take Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Okay, the Bible, what we need to see concerning the Christian life is that Christ is the center. Christ the center. Christ the center. Read 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
All right. You're not saved if you're not in Christ. You're not a Christian if you're not in Christ. But thank God for everyone that's in Christ. He's a Christian. And Christ is the center of his life. Christ is all. You see? And you know. And so we see that if any man be in Christ. Now let me read Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
All right. Here we see that not only is the Christian in Christ, but he says, Christ liveth in me, that the Christ is in the Christian. Right. You see, I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. I, the Christian in Christ, is the position of the Christian. And the Christ in the Christian is the power of the Christian.
Amen.
You see? So we are in Christ, that's our position. Christ in us, that's our power.
Amen.
That's our power. And see, I want to bring up two things concerning this that's very important. First of all, Christ is our Lord. Christ is our Lord. And if you're going to live a Christian life, and you're going to live a Christian life that's the right kind of Christian life, you've got to live it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Got to be Lord of your life. And by an act of your will, and by a submission of your will, you need to submit to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And bow those knees and confess it with your mouth and follow him in your actions. And so we see that Christ has got to be our Lord. He's got to control our life. He's got to be the one that we submit to in our life. And so Christ as our Lord is the one that we submit to. We must submit to Christ as our Lord. The second thing is Christ is our life. Christ is our life. See, in Christ as our Lord, we submit to Christ. We should submit to Christ as our Lord. But Christ is our life, we need to experience Christ. We need to know Christ as living through us and expressing himself from us. As we the body, we're supposed to express the person. Our personality is expressed through our body. And so Christ wants to express himself through his body, the church. And so you must see Christ as your life and say, not I. And I watched when he one time said, what is the Christian life? He said, it's summed up in this. Not I, but Christ.
Amen.
Not I, but Christ. So we must see Christ as our Lord, who we submit to. And Christ as our life, who we must experience and allow him to live through us. And to live his life out through us in the power of the Spirit of God. And then so now, after this, we have a spoke here. And we're going to call this the foundation spoke. This is the foundation spoke to the Christian life. This foundation spoke God's Word. God's Word. This is the foundation spoke for the Christian life. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. I just skipped over something. How do you like that? Always making mistakes. I'm never going to get to that point where I don't make mistakes in this life.
Right? Amen.
And you say that to your daddy one time. When am I going to get to that place?
That's right.
Well, I'm 26.
7 years old. And I haven't gotten to that place.
Amen.
The obedient Christian. Read Romans of chapter 12 and verse 1.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
All right. So we see here, first of all, that the first thing is, Christ is the center. Secondly, another major point for the Christian life is obedience to Christ. And the first point in obedience to Christ is from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, consecration. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You need to present your body to Christ as a reasonable service, as a living sacrifice, and consecrating yourself to Christ. And then in John chapter 14 and verse 21. John 14, 21. Nobody have that?
I'll look it up.
I'll close. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will love him, and manifest myself to him. I manifest myself to him. Alright? So we see here, the first part, and when we talk about obedience to Christ, is consecration. The second part is we see in verse in Romans chapter 12, John chapter 14, verse 21, commandments. The two C's, consecration and commandment. You see, I must consecrate myself to him in order to I might obey him. In order that I might obey his commandment. And Jesus said, he said, if we obey those commandments, he'll manifest.
Amen.
You know, I met a Christian, an older brother in the Lord. And he said to me, I'll never forget it, the last time I've been home. And he said to me, several times, his wife had cancer.
They didn't know what exactly the outcome was going to be.
Yet there was a joy about the brother. He said to me,
Jesus Christ.
Several times he said that in our conversation.
The Lord is with
you. Amen.
Then one time in our conversation, he said, you know, God has promised. He said, the Lord has promised. You know, he's out of the scene now. He's out of our view. He's in the heaven. God, he said, those who keep his commandments will manifest himself. He makes himself real.
Amen.
He was experiencing Christ in a very real.
So the second great thing here we need to realize is that the ram represents our response to the Lordship of Christ. That we need to be obedient Christians. All right? So obedient. Obedience to Christ. Now the foundation stone we find here. God's Word. What's God? What do we have to say about God's Word? 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
All right, we see that the foundation spoke is God's Word for the Christian life. And these two verses tell us two great things. Number one, it tells us what it is. What is God's Word? What is the Scriptures? It's the inspired Word of God. And secondly, it tells us something about God's Word. It says that what was the purpose for him? That the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That we see it's God's Word, the Scriptures. Secondly, what it does for us. What it's for and what it does for us. And so we need to see that. We need to understand that. We need to realize that God's Word is everything. God's Word is everything.
Amen.
God's Word. And so, what it is, it's the Word of God. What it does, man, what is it, what's it for? It's for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I never met a Christian that was living for God, that was doing something for God, that wasn't in God's Word.
Amen.
I've never met one. I don't know if you've ever met a specimen of that sort. But if you have, let me know. He will be the first of the kind that I've ever met. Everyone I've known that's been doing something for
right.
God has been right in that book.
Amen.
Because that book has a power to transform
Amen.
Life. Well, this the other spoke up here, of the horizontal spoke, is prayer. All right, John chapter 15 and verse 7.
John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will to be done unto you. Everybody, I've lost everybody. You abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will to be done unto you. He said. In Philippians it says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Two things concerning prayer. Number one, prayer needs to be, we need to be in fellowship with God. John chapter 15 and verse 7. Number two, is everything's got to be unto God in prayer. Everything. All our requests need to be made known unto God. And so we see that we have these two spokes, not horizontal, vertical spokes. These vertical, I told you I didn't get that straight yet. Of these vertical spokes, we see here that two things, God's Word and prayer. And that's in relationship to God. You see, through God's Word, God speaks to me, and through prayer, I speak to God, and we have a living, vital relationship. We have a living, vital communion as I walk through this world, as I roll through this thing. You see? And so, these vertical spokes speak of my relationship to God, in a sense, how God speaks to me, and I speak to God through prayer. Alright? But then now we have some vertical spokes on here. Horizontal spokes. Horizontal goes this way. Alright? And the first of these spokes right over here is fellowship.
Amen.
Amen? Fellowship. We have God's Word, we have prayer. Now we have fellowship. Somebody, what's Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 say?
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
All right, the first great thing concerning fellowship, it's got to be in the Lord's name. You see, a lot of people are doing a lot of things they say is fellowship, but it's not real fellowship if Christ ain't the center of that fellowship.
Amen.
If Christ isn't the controlling one of that fellowship, it's got to be in His name. And so like in Nehemiah, it said that during that time of failure, one of their keys of success was this, that they fought. They fought.
On the name of the Lord.
They fought on the name. They gathered together and said they spoke one to another, and it said they were thinking on that name. That name means everything. Why? Because in that name they found everything for them. They found the value. They found everything in that name. So we must see that our fellowship must be in that name, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching.
Alright? We see that there, that fellowship is for the Lord's people. We're to exhort one another daily, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Provoking one another. This is a good provoking. You know, it's a bad one. You know, sometimes we gather and we provoke someone in the wrong way. We ought to not provoke someone in the wrong way. This is a good provoking. Provoking one another unto love and to good work.
Amen.
And so fellowship needs to be in the Lord's name, and it needs to be for the Lord's people. It needs to be a feeding time, an exhorting time, a time where of edification, a time of building up, a time where God is rebuking and reproving and exhorting and comforting. You see? God's peace. Well, that's a very important. Now, that has to do with Christians. This horizontal spoke speaks of my relationship to people. This one is more speaking of my relationship to God. These right here are speaking of my relationship with people. And over here, the first one is my relationship with other Christians. There needs to be fellowship with other Christians. Others say, I have my church at home. I don't know. You not have to forsake these things and help yourselves get it. As the manner of some is. There are some like that. I guarantee you. No. Fellowship is a corporate thing. And fellowship, and it's not just for me. I'm the goal for others. The reason why some people don't go is a selfish motive.
That's
because
right.
They're lazy. And because they don't care about people.
That's right.
That's right.
If you really care, you'll come in fellowship in the Lord's name and do it for God's people. Exhort. Provoke. Many people are provoking the wrong. You provoke in the wrong way when you don't come. You provoke in the right way when you do come. You know you encourage people when they see that. And seeing your presence.
That's right.
Well, the other spoke here is this. Witnessing. This is my
As my relationship with men, I have a relationship with fellow brothers in Christ, Christians. But I also have a relationship also to the unbelievers. And my relationship to them is to be a witness. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19.
It says, "And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men."
All right? He said, Jesus said unto them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. That's the key to witnessing. You know what the key to witnessing is? You know, we have all these kind of soul winning programs, and take this 10-week course in soul winning, or this 14-week course. You know, one guy said he tried it for 10 weeks, that didn't work. He made it longer, 14 weeks. That didn't work. You know, I made it longer, you know. But there is one key to soul winning. There's one key to being a fisher of men, and it's this. Jesus said, follow me.
Yeah.
That's the condition. Amen. Follow me. The promise is, I'll make you fishers of men.
Amen.
If we meet that condition and follow Jesus Christ, Jesus will make us a fisher of men.
Amen.
I tell you, like he told Peter, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And men that follow Christ are men who go out and catch other men. They've been caught by Christ, and they're allowed to go out and catch others for Christ.
Amen.
So we see the key to witnessing is following Jesus Christ. And then the message to witnessing is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
There's the message of witnessing. Listen, you're not going to be a right kind of a witness unless you give the right kind of a message that gives that witness concerning Christ, and that's the gospel of Christ. The power of God, the only power of God unto salvation, the only power that God's ordained, the only power that God recognizes, and the only power that God uses to save men is the gospel of Christ. And so as we follow Christ and we go to witness for Christ, what we're to tell men is the gospel of Christ, that through the gospel of Christ, they might be saved. They might be saved, that they might be caught, that they might be brought into this relationship and no longer be over in this relationship. Alright? And so we see here a very simple illustration, and yet one I think that brings before us some of the major points concerning the Christian life. Number one, Christ. Christ the center. That He's the Lord, and He's our life. He's our Lord, and He's our life. Number two, our response to that Lordship. Our obedience to Christ. We're to consecrate ourselves unto Christ and obey His commandments and follow Him. And then we see here the foundation spoke, being that God's Word. What am I supposed to do? I forgot about Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Amen. 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 But we find here God's Word, we see that it, what it is. We find it to be the Scriptures to be inspired Word of God. What's it used for? Well, it's for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, right? Yeah. That the man of God might be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What should we do with it? Oh, like Joshua. He says he took it. He ate it. He meditated it. Day and night. There wasn't a day went by that he missed God's portion. So what should we do with God's Word? We need to feed on it. We need to meditate in it. We need to intake it on a daily basis. You see? And then that it accord that you might do according to all that's written therein, that we might step out there in obedience to it. Not just knowing it, but doing what we found out about it. What God has told us concerning in His Word to it. And then we find up here prayer. And that has to do with our going in direct communication to God and receiving through prayer during this time, receiving our provisions from God. And so we have here the vertical spokes of our relationship with God. And then when we come this way, we have fellowship. We have fellowship with Christians. We have fellowship to be in the Lord's name and to be for the Lord's people. And then we're to go out and we're to go from these times of fellowship and go out and be a witness.
Amen.
And the key to that witness is to follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the message of our witness is to preach the gospel of Christ. Let me ask you something in closing. How do you fare on this week? You know, what would happen if you take one of those folks out? You lose some of the strength of the will, don't you?
Yeah.
Huh? What happens when you take it? Oh, boy. Take that one out right there. Watch out. Watch out. Huh? What's going on now? What happens? What will happen to you as a Christian? And if your Christian life is in relationship with His will, how does your will go? Let me ask you, how's the will of your life? Is all the spokes on there? Is Christ the center?
Is every one of those spokes a functioning spoke? And are you responding to Christ in consecration and obedience to His commandments? You know, I believe if we seek to practice just some of these simple, important, basic points, because these are the basic points we go over and over again in our Christian life, I believe that we'll be a more effective witness to Christ. We'll be better built up, better able to do what God wants us to do.
Brother Danny, did you have a word for us?
Okay. Why don't we thank the Lord for the food? Brother Al Sprider, why don't you thank the Lord?
Father, we gather here today in Your name. Lord, You know our hearts and You know all about us. We pray that You continue to be with us.
Amen.
Lord, we thank You for this food we're about to receive. Now, by Jesus Christ, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.